Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the magnificent name of the Lord. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Prayer Army on the Blog Talk Radio. And today, we have a very special program that's being featured. At this moment, we're joining the family for the homegrown celebration for Mother Adelaide Johnson, who's 95 years old, and her son, the International Chief Ambassador, Dr. Bernard Johnson, is getting ready now to bring the eulogy. Come, let's go into service and enjoy Jesus together.
Bishops today, let me say this, is there any other bishops in the house? Well,
Father, Calvary, our own Bishop, Bishop Christ, Lord, Bishop, I'm so honored to be a part of that. I entire family, I call them the part of this family. This is the part of this family. I don't stand in myself, but I stand in the auspices of the Holy Ghost. My mother asked me if I would preach a funeral, and I owe her that. She was my best friend, but don't y'all get mad at me for that. Brother Johnson, and with always encouraging me and always helping me, just want to talk to students here. Don't want to play anything, but she was a very humorous person. One of my jobs, I just kept her. I tried to keep it lagging all the time. And we'll forget it. I came to the house one day. And I said to her, I said, Mama, let's have a contest. She said, what? I said, let's have a contest. And she said, what you mean? I said, well, just, you know, a contest, Mama. I wanna see who can go to sleep the quickest. She said, what? And I said, I want to see who can go to sleep the quickest, Mama. All right. I said, on the mark. I just want to see who can go to sleep the quickest. I said, yes, ma'am. On the mark. Get ready. Get set. She was asleep already. But then when she woke up, what tickled me, when she woke up, first thing she said to me, did I win? Yeah, one time, she never liked wrinkles under herself. And so Janet, who y'all saw a while ago, and David and I would always try to get him, and Edna, for sure, we try to get the wrinkles out from under her. And she never liked wrinkles. One day, we got the wrinkles out from under her, and then there was a chair at the end of her bed, so I was going to sit there with her during my time. By the way, the family was so phenomenal. Amen. All of us pitched in to help. But during my time, I was going to sit in that chair right at the edge of her bed, and I always said, son, you got too much foolishness. You carry on too much foolishness. I was going to sit in that chair at the end of the bed, and then it just came up on me. I said, Mama, hold this blanket here. Hold what? I said, hold it, the end of the blanket, just hold it. That's what I'm going to put over me. She said, what? I said, hold the blanket, Mama. She held it. And then I began to stretch it. I said, don't let it go. She said, what? I said, I can't stand to have wrinkles over me, Mama. I can't. She said, boy, you just carry on too much foolishness for me. One day I started coming to the house, and David was there beside Mama. And I opened the door up and started coming in. Who is that coming in? She said, that's Bernard. Don't let him start no foolishness for me. I don't feel good. She always laughed. Amen. Very humorous, and we shall surely miss her. I began to think, what I could say about Mother Johnson that has not already been said. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. One was in Matthew 22:14. And it reads thusly, for many are called. Somebody help me finish that. But few are chosen. Yeah, few are chosen. And then I began to hear that choir sing a scripture. Well, we know that if this earthly house, the tabernacle, were dissolved, 1 Corinthians, we have a building not made with hands. And I was all right as I read that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building, somebody say a building, not made with hands. I was all right until I said that if, I couldn't get past that, if, somebody help me, if earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if. I began to wonder why would
it's 2 o'clock.
Everywhere I go, I hear people talking about we all got to go that way. We all got to die. But I read this if, and I could not get past it. What is the Lord trying to tell me with this if? And I kept on thinking, well, Mama, what is this if, Lord? What is this if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved? And then I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what does that mean? I don't understand. If all of us have to go that way, what if? Did he turn me Thessalonians 4:16? And I began to read that. Oh, my God. And begin to contemplate 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then my mind went to Lazarus was in the grave 4 days, stinking there, and Jesus stepped to the graveside. Didn't call Abraham's name because he would have come forth. Didn't call Moses because he would have come forth. Didn't call Noah because Noah would have come forth to the graveside and said, Lazarus. Lazarus stepped from the grave and came forth in grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go free. Lazarus was loosed. From grave clothes. And then all of a sudden, it began to dawn on me that one of these mornings when the equatorial the linear lines of the sky shall crack and the incredulities of life shall fade away, and when all mankind shall put one foot on the sand and one foot on the sea and declare that time shall be no more, then Jesus will step out in the clouds and come down with his heavenly host, and Mother Johnson will be with him when he brings his family back with him, and he's going to step out on nothingness, and he's not going to say Bernard come forth, he's not going to say Betty come forth, he's not going to say Sam come forth, he's not going to say Bruce and Yvonne come forth. Jesus is just going to step out on nothing left and just say 2 words, come forth, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And Mother Johnson and everybody else who's coming back with him will be with him, and then the dead here will get up out of the graves and come forth. It will be a great day. I wonder, is there anybody in the house who plans to come back with Jesus? You won't have to experience the him. No. You won't have to experience that because Jesus will have embraced the him for you. It will be a time with Jesus forever. Jesus. I begin to look at this thing. If our earthly house be dissolved, my mind went to Mother Johnson. I didn't quite understand everything about my mother. And just a while ago, I began to understand it now. I want to talk about chosen. Somebody say chosen. That's the answer. I could not understand how this woman could be in so much pain and go through 6 or 7 operations and have her hip cut all the way from the hip down, all the way down the leg, and Yes, lay there and not complain. Lay there and not really mumble and groan about anything. The answer is that she was chosen. Somebody in this house understands, but you've been chosen to go through some things that you didn't understand. But God has chosen you. See, people don't understand chosen people. It took 446 years for God to get Moses in place. They didn't understand Moses. He wasn't a perfect man. He made some mistakes. He killed that Egyptian, did other things, but there was something unusual about Moses. He was a person people didn't understand. Daughter of the Pharaoh took him in, raised him. They didn't understand all that. Had to put him in the city for him to get away in that water, sailing down there in that basket. But you see, he was chosen. Nothing could kill him until God wanted to call him home. He was chosen. Not really understood him because he was chosen. See, why could he go before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, God said, let my people go? And the Pharaoh not have his head chopped. See, the Pharaoh was known that if you mess with him at all, he would put you on the chopping block and chop your head off. But he couldn't kill Moses. Why? Because he was sure. Even when he told him this, the last plague, that the firstborn of every family will die. And the Pharaoh's son died, and the Pharaoh hated Moses. He would have killed him instantly, but he couldn't kill him because he was chosen. When they got to the Red Sea, and the monsters were on the right and on the left, and Pharaoh was behind him, nobody could attack Moses because he was chosen. He couldn't go. God opened up the Red Sea. He went across. Why? He was chosen. Mother Johnson, I'm trying to tell you, was chosen. Just the other day, death came to get Mother Johnson, and he found out that she was already dead. Death couldn't take her. Many days she lay there and said, I want to go home. She told all of us, I want to go home. But she couldn't leave, and death couldn't take her because she was chosen. And then one day when death came to get her on, was it February the 14th on Valentine's night? Yeah. Mother Johnson was already gone. God had come and taken her home. It was kind of like Enoch. Like, I imagine it like Enoch who walked out into the atmosphere and then into the Atlas pause and then to the stratosphere and to the stratus pause and then into the ionosphere and to the ionosphere pause and then walked on up and the angels welcomed her into the gates of heaven. I envision like that. The devil couldn't take her. Death couldn't take her. She was God's chosen, and she wasn't going to leave here until God came to take her. Is there anybody in this house? And I can hear death saying, well, now at least since I came, take your soul, and you're already dead. May I have your body. Mother Johnson said, I don't care what you do with that. Death said, I don't understand. Why you don't care what I do with the body? No. Why? Because I'm already absent from the body and present with the Lord. No witness in the house anywhere. And Mother Johnson, I could just hear going on the statement. And I found out that every day now with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And telling us, if any of y'all plan to come up here, you don't need no lights up here. You don't have to bring them. Why? Because the glory of God lights up the whole city, and then you don't have to worry about darkness up here because there is no darkness anywhere. The glory of God lights up this whole city. I can hear it telling y'all, if y'all plan to come, I know y'all like those bottled waters. Don't bring no water up here. throne of God. You don't have to worry about sickness, and everybody knows that in her latter years that Mother Johnson was sick. She had some back trouble down there, though. And then she had both legs that were affected. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Mother Johnson doesn't have to worry now, because she would tell you, just as soon as my feet struck fire, I laid down my heavy burdens and I put on my robe in glory. Now I can shout and tell the story. And somebody told her, at least don't worry about them bad legs. They may have called the hoppy down here, but up yonder, up here in heaven, we got a tree for the healing of the nation. And can't you see her walking into heaven? And Sister Hattie, I heard her say, the mother was saying the other day, that when I get to heaven, I guess I got to tell them that I'm the wife of Elder Lee Johnson. Or maybe I got to tell them, I'm the mother of Robert Johnson. I'm the mother of Harold Johnson. I'm the daughter of the Dobbs family and everything else. But you see, when you got to heaven, Peter said, you don't need no references up here, mother. We already know that. And the angels got to sing it, to God be the glory for the work God has done through your life. And Mother Johnson got into heaven. Can't you see it? She's up in glory right now in the arms of the Lord. And somebody said, well, now, when she got into heaven, what did she want to do first? Well, somebody made it, St. Peter said, now, do you want to see your husband leave first? Or do you want to see your son Harold first? Or do you want to see your son Robert first? And they waited for a reply. And Mother Johnson said, well, I love my husband Lee. I love my son Harold. And I love my son Robert. And I love my father. Yeah, and I love my mother. And they all here. But that's not who I want to see first. I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see the one who set me free. I want to see the one who went through sickness and dark clouds and everything and suffered on the cross for me, who hung, bled, and died for me. I want to see Jesus. And she told me to tell you, if you want to see it, get right with it. Somebody sing that song, get right, ship, and let's go home. I don't care who you are, but you got to get right with God. And I want to talk about how she was chosen, because when she was chosen by God, God initiated a legacy for Mother Johnson. He said, you got to be a prayer warrior. Was she a prayer warrior? Somebody, when I say something about Mother Johnson, I want somebody to holler, yeah. Was she a prayer warrior? See, Mother Johnson believed in prayer. She said, a day without prayer is a wasted day. You got to be a prayer warrior. I don't care if you are a teacher, if you are a deacon, if you are a pastor, if you are a preacher, if you are an elder, if you are a greeter, if you are an usher, whoever you are, if you don't believe in prayer, you see, it's a wasted life without prayer. You got to be able to believe in prayer. She was a prayer warrior. She laid hands on people, and whenever she laid hands on people, they would get healed and delivered. They'd be at the hospital. She'd go to the hospital, and she'd pray for everybody on the floor, y'all. And the doctors would get mad, because the next day, folks would be checking out of the hospital, be healed of the Lord. You see, you got to have some power. Somebody have power. Yeah, she was a prayer warrior with power, yeah. You see, she knew that a little prayer would give you little power, and much prayer would give you much power, and a whole lot of prayer would give you a whole lot of power, and phenomenal prayer would give you phenomenal power, and ultra-awesome prayer would give you ultra-awesome power, because, you see, you have to pray to the one who's able to answer prayer. See, you got to make that prayer to the one who will be your love, your joy, your hope, your peace, and your shepherd, your leader, your guide, and your faith, your hope, your charity, and your inspiration, your jubilation, your master, your maker, and your molder, and your shaper. You got to pray to the one who's able to pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on solid ground. You got to pray to the one who went to Calvary for you and who bled and died on Calvary. You got to pray to the one who be your sanctifier, your beautifier, your justifier, and pray to the one who will be your naturalizer, and pray to the one who will be there in the storm and the rain, and your Holy Ghost fire. When you make that prayer to him, he will change things. not only that, Mother Johnson was not only a prayer warrior, but she was a woman who believed in standing in the gap. See, every time you look around, she was always talking about Jesus and always telling everybody that you need to depend on him. And she would always be there for her grandchildren and for her great-grandchildren, standing in the gap. And she'd be there for even the brothers and sisters and the uncles and nephews. She was the mother to the nation, y'all. She believed in standing in the gap for everybody. It wasn't too hard for her to go through for anybody because she loved everybody. And she believed that you ought to love Jesus. Is there anybody who believes that? Yeah, she said that you can't make it without Jesus. She said the enemy will try his best to steal from you and kill you and destroy you without Jesus. You can't come through without him. See, she believed that without Jesus, the senior saints used to sing that song, without him, I could do nothing. And without him, I would fail. And without him, I'd be just like a ship drifting without a sail. She believed that telling the young people in the family and the little grandchildren and everybody that you got to help Jesus. She would tell the nieces and nephews, you got to help Jesus. See, without Jesus, you'd be so frustrated. You got a chasm inside, and it will be empty without Jesus. Because the only one who can fill the chasm is Jesus. Without him, you wouldn't have a burden bearer. Without him, you wouldn't have a heavy load carrier. Without him, you would be empty, not only inside, but your mind would be empty. You'd almost lose your mind without Jesus. You got to have him on your side. You won't make it without him. Yeah, because you got just to have him in your life every day. Every day with Jesus is going to be sweeter, yes. And not only that, your heart will never be completely happy without Jesus. You'll never realize your total potential without Jesus. Without him, you might experience depression. Without him, you might go broken. Without him, you won't have nobody when you're sick to call on. And without him in the midnight hour, you'll never have nobody who'll come to see about you in the midnight hour who can really help you, y'all. You got to have somebody holler Jesus. You got to have Jesus on your side. See, she was a proponent of Jesus. And I know I've got to hurry here. I'm getting ready to take my seat, but you see, she was telling us all, after you really live your life and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised.
Then she said, you gotta have the Holy Ghost. Every time she stood, she talked about the Holy Ghost. She wondered why the preachers wouldn't preach about the Holy Ghost more. She asked the question many times when she stood, I don't understand why people won't preach about the Holy Ghost. Why won't y'all do it? Why won't y'all preach more about the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost is what will keep you. It will help you to stand in the last time. It's helping me right now. I never forget Mama talk about how she received the Holy Ghost. She was there, and she said, the doctor, if you want the Holy Ghost, come on up. And she came forward, and she began to say, thank you. You know how they did in the old church. One on got on one side, say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the other was on the other side, said, give up, give up, give up, thank you, give up, thank you, give up, thank you, give up. After a while, the Holy Ghost began to fall on Mother Johnson. She began to open her mouth and speak in tongues. And she said, well, I remember my grandfather. She said, he said, if this ain't the Holy Ghost, Lord, just hold me right now. Don't let me in it. She said, I began to think, Lord, if this is not the Holy Ghost, just don't let me do anything. But she began to speak in tongues. And after a while, the Holy Ghost got a hold of her mouth and began to just uncover and everything, and she began to speak in tongues, and she said she tried to hold her tongue, but it was like she was just going to break it open, and the Holy Ghost began to speak out of her mouth. I'm telling you, you need the Holy Ghost. Somebody asked the question, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is your comforter. It comes to comfort you in the last hour. I began to wonder why the Holy Ghost was sent by God as a comforter. I believe God knew that the disciples would be around seeing him dying on the cross. And that was their his friends seen him dying on the
and God knew that they would need to be comforted because the people around them, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the other seers, didn't understand about how to comfort anybody going through what they were going through. And so God sent the Holy Ghost, first of all, to comfort the disciples who would be around that cross witnessing Jesus dying. And not only to them, but now it's to us to comfort us right here in this hour right now with Mother Essie Johnson. Anybody know that the Holy Ghost is a comforter? Say yes. Oh, won't he comfort you in your hours of distress? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got to close here now, but I want to tell you that the life of Mother Johnson was so phenomenal. Yeah, she had daughters and sons. She had nine in this life, and then she lost two in childbirth. Yeah, and I never forget it. She told all of us some things that we need to remember. She told us that we need to hang in there and hold on to each other. She told us that we need to stand together with each other. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the devil has tried his best for ages to separate the people of God. He doesn't want God's people to stand together. That's the last thing he wants. He doesn't want Bond to stand with Sims. He doesn't want Bernard to stand with Houston. He doesn't want anybody to stand together because he says, together we stand and divided we fall. So he's trying to separate the family and everybody in this house. And I want to tell you that if you got a brother or a sister, you need to stand with your brother and stand with your sister. I want to say to the family, Mother Johnson hung around here a long time so that we would learn to be cooperative with one another so that we leak arms. Come on up here, David. Come on up here, Albert. So that we sneak arms together and we would hold each other up. Is there a witness in the house? Thank you, Jesus. We don't stand together. Come on, brother. We don't stand together regardless of what the devil says. May I come down there where y'all are. Mama told me, whatever we do, as Johnsons, we got to stand together. If you can take a step with me, come on, let's take a step together. No matter what the enemy says, let's hold together. Yes. I know sometimes the way will be hard. We got to work together. Work together, children. Work together, children. Work together, children. Oh, we got to be together. That's what you say to the family. We got to hold together. I've got to sit down here. Is there anybody here who believes in holding on to Jesus' hand? Mother Johnson wants you to hold on, not just to the family. You got to hold on to the hand of the Lord. Oh, hold. Yeah. I hear the old preachers in the old church. They used to tell everybody, hold on. Though you go through struggles, hold on. Family got to tell you, hold on. It may be rough sometimes. You may not seem like you make it. You got to hold on. Oh, hold. Just as hold the brothers, neither hold the apples. Whatever you are in your family, hold on. I'm determined to hold on. No matter what comes, I got to hold on. If anybody in the family who grab a hold of me and grab a hold of somebody, just determined that you're going to hold on. Come on, somebody. I'm with the right. Jesus. Can we go hold on to Jesus? Jesus, we got to hold on. Sometimes the devil wants us to be in competition with each other, but it's not what God wants. God wants to grab each other. He wants us to hold on. God, I don't care what you do. We go hold it, damn it.
Thank you, Amen. Glass, flowers,
not working as well. Amen. We're going to have to expedite this. Amen. So we want to make sure the family is in the car. Please be respectful. We have to be where we need to be in less than an hour. So we want to make sure we do this properly. Is that all right? All right, the choir is giving us a song. Beside the clergy, the family will be coming after the clergy. God bless you.